Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. This is part two. I urge you to go back and listen to part one and two on our website, gattheroutcast.com. And you can listen to part one and two and many other messages in the archives of the radio broadcasts. And so today we're taking up part three, and we're going to be looking at how the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. And that is us, beloved, in the kingdom. There are Jews, there are Gentiles. Anybody that is not a Jew is a Gentile. And so that includes just about everybody listening today. That includes me. And we were given the opportunity 2,000 years ago, approximately 2,000 years ago, we were given the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit, just as the Jews had received on the day of Pentecost, and God then made the opportunity available for the Gentiles to receive. And so we praise God for that. It's a wonderful story. If you've never read Acts chapter 10, I urge you to read it. I'm not going to read the whole chapter today. I'm not going to go through all the details of the chapter. I'm just going to give an overview of it. But it is one of the great stories of the Bible. It is one of the great stories because it shows God's desire to bring every single person into the kingdom. It shows God's desire to open up the doors of the kingdom for every single person, no matter where they are on the face of the earth, no matter what tribe they are from, no matter what ethnic group, which side of the tracks, the color of their skin, or any other thing about them. God wants them all. He wants every single one. And there's a lot of different doctrines out there that are in opposition to that. Some say that God only chooses certain people for salvation, that he doesn't want everybody into the kingdom, and there's a lot of confusion about that. I say to you today, it is God's will that every single person receive salvation, come to a place of repentance, and receive salvation and a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it is also God's will that every single person receive the Holy Spirit, the full immersion, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just as it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and just as it is poured out here today in the 10th chapter of Acts for the Gentiles. That is God's will for us today, 2,000 years later. It is God's will. He doesn't want to leave anybody out, and so he is speaking to you today. He is speaking to you today. If you have questions, if you have a desire and a hunger for the kingdom of God, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to come into your life, to counsel you, and to be your advocate, to be your comforter, to be your paraclete. And so that is God's will for you. And everything in the kingdom is obtained by faith. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened for you." And just as you receive from your earthly father and your earthly mother good gifts, gifts they give to you out of love and because they desire to help you and to bless you, even so much more does our Heavenly Father want to bless us. Our Heavenly Father wants to give us good and perfect gifts. And so our earthly fathers are an example, hopefully, of our Heavenly Father. But even if they're not, our earthly fathers are full of sin and to some degree wicked. And the scripture says that our Heavenly Father is so much more desiring to give us the good and perfect gifts of his kingdom. Well, let's take a look at chapter 10 in the book of Acts. And in verse 1, it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." Well, let's stop right there and note a couple of things. Number one, this man was not from Israel. He was not from any of the tribes of Israel. He was not Jewish. He didn't even have any relatives or any place other than the fact that he was part of the occupying army of the Romans. He was part of the Italian regiment. And at this time in the history of Israel, the Romans, it was part of the Roman Empire. And so this man was there simply as part of the occupying army. And yet God used him. God brought him to a place where Cornelius was an integral component of the kingdom of God, because he was the first Gentile to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was the first Gentile to come to a place of understanding that the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God was destined to be his as well as for the Jews. And it says here in verse 2 that Cornelius was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. Well, beloved, that is an example for us. That is a sign for us. When you fear God with a fear that you want God, you desire the kingdom, you desire the things from God, when you fear God more than you do man, God is going to bless you with the things of the kingdom. He's going to pour out all the gifts for you. And that is his will, that you seek him with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And then when you do that, God says, oh yes, I love that. I love that heart that is open to me. I love that heart that is willing to receive what I have for him without questions, with the heart of a child, the innocence of a child. Jesus said, if you come to me with the innocence of a child, then you will receive the kingdom of heaven. And so Cornelius was that way. He was devout. He was fearing God with all his household, and he gave alms. That is to say, he gave offerings generously to the people and prayed to God always. Well, beloved, that is an example for us. Again, when you fear God, when you pray to God, when you give generously, and you understand God is the God of your life, and you understand God is in control of your life, he is the sovereign God over your life, then you have come to a great understanding, and you have put yourself in a place where God then will bless you and pour out his benevolence upon you. And then in verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And so he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Well, this is Peter the fisherman who had walked with Jesus and had been a disciple of Jesus before the crucifixion. This is the same Peter, and now he is over on the coast with a man named Simon. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. And so God is setting up a meeting here between Peter, the apostle, the disciple of Jesus, the fisherman, and Cornelius, because God is setting up this meeting to pour out the Holy Spirit upon Cornelius. And God had all this planned from before the foundation of the earth, from before the beginning of time, that his love would be poured out, that his Holy Spirit would be poured out, that his blessings would be poured out on all men in all places. And so he's using Peter, the very same Peter who had rejected Jesus three times at the crucifixion, the same Peter who ran away from the crucifixion and said, I don't even know that man. And this same Peter now God used to preach to the Gentiles and to preach to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. The same Peter preached the gospel message on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus. And so that is why God has chosen Peter here. He's Peter the evangelist now. He's not Peter the fisherman. He's fishing for souls of men and not for tilapia or whatever kind of fish they had in those days. And so he is Peter the evangelist. And because God used him to preach to the Jews, God is now also using him to preach to the Gentiles. And so he will be then the integral part that brings all of this together. Well, at the same time, Cornelius sent some men to go find Peter because the angel had told Cornelius that Peter was over there on the sea and he was to send people to go to find him. At the same time, Peter is receiving a vision or a trance in his place, and he is up on the roof of his house and he's praying, and all of a sudden there is a vision that comes to him. He was very hungry and he wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to earth. That was verse 11. Verse 12. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, and a voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Well, what God is showing Peter here is that God is cleansing what Peter considered to be unclean, that is, the Gentiles, because the Jews of that day had nothing to do with the Gentiles. They didn't walk into their territory. They had no dealings with them if they could keep from it. And they considered any associations with the Gentiles to be unclean. And so God is showing Peter through using food in this trance, in this vision, he is showing Peter that God has cleansed all of the people of the earth, that God wants to bring his message and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. God wants to bring it to every single person. And of course, this was a revelation to Peter, being a Jew. This is a great revelation to him because he didn't understand the workings of God totally, and none of us do. But Peter, being a devout Jew, certainly had reservations about sharing the gospel message with the Gentiles and seeing them in the same light that God did. Well, verse 17, "Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision might mean, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose name was Peter, was lodging there. And when Peter thought about the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" And so the Holy Spirit counsels Peter. It says, "Receive these men. I have sent them," says the Lord. "Receive these men and go with them, doubting nothing." And so Peter is obedient to the Holy Spirit. He goes with these men and they make a trek back to Cornelius's house, which was some distance away. And Cornelius then receives Peter and his friends. And then the same people that Cornelius had sent come back. And so Cornelius has gathered his family, gathered his friends. And beloved, this is the gospel message, that we take the message to all people on every corner of the face of the earth, even into the remotest places. The Great Commission says that we are to go into all the nations, even the Muslim nations, even the Hindu nations, even the pagan nations, every nation. God's will is that every single person should come to a knowledge of him, a knowledge of Christ, come to a place of repentance and receive what God has for them, receive the kingdom. And so Peter is being obedient. He goes with his friends and they meet in Cornelius's house. And Peter then brings the gospel message to Cornelius and his family. Well, it starts out then, the gospel message is 37. "The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on the cross. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with Jesus after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Well, there it is. That is the gospel message. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, that is the message. That is the good news. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you've been a terrible person in your own eyes or in the eyes of other people. It doesn't matter if you've been a liar or a thief. We're all sinners. We all came into this world born in sin because that is the condition of all mankind. We are a fallen people because of the sin of Adam and Eve. We are born in sin, and so we can make ourselves pure only by accepting the love and the remission of sins offered through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's a simple message, beloved. It's a very simple message. Even 8-year-olds, even 6-year-olds can understand it. It is a message that says that we can be cleansed, we can be reconciled back to God through the blood of Jesus, and our sins can be rolled back, our sins can be remitted if we believe and if we speak and confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Well, I pray that you do that today. If you've never confessed Jesus, get down on your knees. Some of you are in a place where you don't know Jesus. You don't know if you're saved. You don't know if your life would end today, where you would end up, if you'd be in hell for all eternity, or where you would be. Maybe you think you would just rot in the grave. I don't know what you think. I can tell you this. When you have salvation, you know that you are saved, and you don't have any more questions about it. You have certainty about it. And if you don't have certainty about where you're going to spend eternity, you need to do business with God today, and you need to get down on your knees and confess your sins, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I have lied, I've cheated, I've stolen, whatever else that you've done. And just say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want you to come into my heart. I want to move in your kingdom and in your love. And if you do that, God will be faithful. Jesus will be faithful to receive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Well, in verse 44, here is the capper, the culmination of the gospel message as it was shared with Cornelius. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, that is the Jews who were with Peter, those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, because as many as come with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on all the Gentiles also. So we see an amazing thing happen here, and this was amazing to Peter and the Jews, was that these Gentiles, these people that they did not think could receive the gospel message, they have received the gospel message, and they are now witnesses to the fact that these Gentiles have received the gospel message. And how did they know? That is the question. How did Peter and his friends know that they had received? Well, it tells us in verse 46, this was the sign that they had received the gospel message and that they had received the Holy Spirit. The sign was that they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So that is the sign of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the full immersion of the Holy Spirit. The same thing happened in the second chapter of Acts when the Jews received the Holy Spirit. There was thousands and thousands of Jews there in Jerusalem on that day, and they received the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in tongues, and all of the people standing around were listening to them speak in tongues, and they started to mock them. They said, well, these Jews have just been drinking, and now they're drunk, and so they don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're doing. But the same thing happens here with the Gentiles, the very same thing. And that is one of the reasons I believe that God has taken Peter to this place to preach, is because Peter was the one who preached to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And so now he's the same one preaching to the Gentiles. And so he can recognize now that the Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit. The Gentiles have received. They are speaking in tongues just like the Jews did, and they are magnifying and glorifying God. And then Peter answered, verse 47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then they asked him to stay a few days. I'm sure they were asking him to stay so that he could teach them more about the scriptures, and he could tell them about the Jesus that he had walked with and talked with and been a witness of his suffering. And so they were hungry for more teaching, which is also a sign of people who are saved. It's a sign of people who love the Lord Jesus and want to serve the Lord, is that they are hungry for more teaching. And so this story, beloved, is one of the great stories, as I said, because it shows us that God has a desire to save every single person. He took this Roman soldier and he knew his heart. He was a soldier who loved the Lord, who prayed frequently and loved the Lord, was desiring to know more about God. And God sees your heart, beloved. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter your circumstance. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. God knows your heart. He sees you and he loves you just the way you are. Whatever it is you've done in your life, no matter how despicable or disgusting or whatever you're trapped in today. Maybe you're trapped in some kind of an addiction, or you're trapped in pornography or drug use, alcohol use, adultery, whatever it is. God can cleanse you. He can set you free. He can break the chains of addiction off your life. He can change your life dramatically in a heartbeat. He can restore to you everything the devil has stolen from you. Maybe you're sitting in prison today and you think God has no place in his kingdom for you. I say to you today, God has a place for you. He can restore to you every relationship that is broken. He can restore to you the money that the devil has stolen from you. He can restore the health that you have lost through drug use or methamphetamines or whatever it is that you have participated in your life. I tell you today, God has a plan for you, and he wants to restore you, and he wants to restore you to the kingdom, and he wants to see you walk in victory and not in defeat. Well, if that is you today, get down on your knees, ask the Lord to come into your life, repent of your sins. God will be faithful and true to write your name in the book of life. Let me know if you make that decision. Drop me an email, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we will send you some information to get you started on your Christian walk. Well, we have a book offer for you, Reaching the Lost in Africa. It's the stories of revivals and crusades preached over 6 years here in Africa. And so if you make a donation to the ministry, we'll get that book into your hand. Also, we have a book for sale on Amazon, a new release. It's called Prophecies for America, and this is a series of prophetic dreams that God gave me when I was in Costa Rica on a mission trip. And so if you'd like that book, you can get it on Amazon, or you can go to my website and order it, gatheredtheoutcast.com. And so we thank you for listening today. Thank you for your support and your prayers. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you today. Thank you. And tune in again next week.